The following podcast may contain adult language and an abundance of Guillermo del Toro monsters. So get ready, nerds, because we're talking Hellboy 2, The Golden Army. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Salty Nerd Podcast. We're talking Hellboy 2 on today's show, and I'm joined as always by my fantastic panel of nerds. Matt Vader's here. What's up, dude?
Hi.
How you doing?
I think I could go to work pretty soon.
No, you're fine. Just calling late. Jude is also here. Hello. Welcome, Jude. And last but not least, Matthew Kadish. Welcome.
Oh, joy, another Del Toro movie to talk about. Oh, another Hellboy movie to talk about. This is like my nightmare week. I just didn't care about either of these movies.
Oh, this was so fun.
As opposed to football player action movies.
Well, those would be great. I stand by my decision. No.
You're a moron.
I'm calling it. I'm calling Tom.
I'm calling him out too.
I'm calling him for me. No one else can have Tom.
I may or may not have scheduled an outing in the woods during that week. It's like, what's a good week to miss?
Stone Cold and Firestorm are two great movies that we are going to talk about at some point.
I'm calling Danny and Tom.
Jesus Christ.
It's going to be
the Kadish show. Anyway.
It's just going to be Kadish sitting here by himself.
These movies are great, guys.
Brian Bosworth is such an action star from the 90s.
That would be funny. I know we're derailed, but that would be funny if he's just down here doing the show by himself. We're up there drinking.
But he's still doing the cameras. Just on the empty seats.
Just gone. We're just not there. Oh, shit. Anyway, Hellboy 2, Golden Army. I enjoy the hell out of this movie. I think they amped up the Del Toro-esque version. There's so many creepy-ass monsters in this movie, and I think that's the biggest selling point
for me. I love every single one of
them. I'm into it, dude. I love it. So we're going to talk about that movie. Heavy spoilers if you haven't seen it. It's out there. Go check it out. It's a pretty old movie now. You should have watched it by now.
You know what my favorite part of this movie is? I'm going to the end when you ask us what our favorite parts are.
Okay. You're going to give it away right now?
I'm just going to say it right now. My favorite part of this movie is the very beginning.
With the kid?
I love the story at the beginning of the movie. With the animated
part. Oh, the little animated puppet things.
It is so cool.
That's such a Del Toro thing.
I could watch... Yeah. I've turned this movie on before just to watch the first 10 minutes.
Okay.
I've done that more than once. It's just very...
Whimsical?
Cool to me.
Yeah. I gotcha. All right, guys. We're going to get into it. Vader can leave now. You're good
to go. Yeah, I'm done.
We're going to get into the movie.
You can find him at Matt Vader 74.
Yeah, in just a second. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're going to break down this movie and have a lot of fun doing it. So we'll see you there. Welcome back. Hey, if you guys would like to support what we do here at the podcast, you can go to saltynerd.com/DC and download a mobile game called Dragon Champions on any device that you have, Apple or Android. And it's a lot of fun. It's a very easy game to pick up and play and have a good time with. And the developers of that game support us at the podcast. And we want to return that favor, so we want to send new customers to them. It's a completely free-to-play game, but if you type in Salty in the promo code area, you guys get a leg up on the competition. You get a new character, you get some extra gold, a couple of rubies, and some magical powers and whatnot. And when you reach level 20, you then can apply to become part of the Salty Nerd Podcast Guild, which is ran by one of our patrons, JT. We have a lot of fun. It's a very active chat room in our Discord app. They have a ton of people in there chatting all the time, giving each other new promo codes and all kinds of crazy stuff and pointers on how to grow their champions.
And you know what I love most about Dragon Champions is that they're always updating the game. So like there's always new game modes to try. There's new characters to collect. In fact, I think one of our... one of the people in the Discord chat was talking about like, man, like, you know, I've only been playing this game for 3 weeks and I'm so addicted to it. I'm like, I've been doing it for 3.5 years.
Yep. So if you want to get addicted to a mobile game, head over to saltynerd.com/DC and help support us here at the podcast. All right, let's get into the Golden Army. Take it away, Jude.
Okay. 2008 Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, rated PG-13 with a runtime of 2 hours. This had a budget of $85 million. What do you think this brought into the box office?
85 is more than the last one?
Yes.
Yeah, the last one was 66 million. I'm going to say it brought in 140 million.
Okay. Vader, budget of 85.
105.
All right. This movie had a budget of $85 million with a box office of $168 million.
Wow. Okay, cool.
Well done, little movie.
Why didn't we get three?
That's a great
question. We got a reboot.
I feel like Kadish has the answer to that.
I do have the answer.
All right. Jude, go ahead and do the synopsis. Yeah.
Hellboy and Liz are shacked up and knocked up. He only knows about that first part, though. Abe psychically saw the little bundle of fire in Liz's hellhole and broke the news to her, and she's waiting for the right time to tell Hellboy. When evil Legolas sets a bunch of tooth fairies loose at an auction, the team investigates the carnage the little carnivores left behind. They follow the clues at the massacre, which leads them to evil Legolas's twin sister, Nuala. She's trying to keep her brother from unleashing an army of supernatural stormtroopers and starting a war with the human race. She and Abe bond, while Liz and HB seem to be growing apart. To overcome insecurities, Hellboy and Abe get schnockered and listen to love songs till Legolas shows up and shanks Hellboy. Suddenly, everyone's sober and Abe begs the team not to harm Legolas as the twins are linked and whatever happens to one happens to the other. Each having their own interest, Liz and Abe take Hellboy to Troll City, where a harbinger of death asks Liz, him or the world? And Liz is like, fuck those humans, get the shiv out of my baby daddy. Once healed, the gang finds evil Legolas hanging out with his dormant army. He still needs one more missing piece of the crown to call the Golden Army to life. In order to save Nuala, Abe gives him the missing piece and the army awakes, leaving Hellboy with only one choice to save the world. Challenge Legolas to a duel. Discuss.
You know, upon reflection, I think I might like this one better than the first one.
That's why I scored the other one what I did.
Yeah. I'm thinking about it and I'm like, you know, it doesn't fall into those overused comic mm-hmm. book tropes.
No.
It has a very unique, interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
And all the characters, especially the villains, mm-hmm. have like, they're not entirely wrong. Like
no.
when you have, like I talked about how much I love, like just throw in a freaking crazy Nazi and you can do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is they usually end up being kind of paper thin villains. These are not paper thin villains. Mm-hmm. They have a very direct, like I'm doing this because, and you can understand it.
I feel sympathetic to the villains.
Yeah, humans suck, bro.
They do.
Humans
suck. I kind of compared him this week to another white-haired villain.
You're talking about the prince. Yeah.
Yeah, the prince.
Yeah.
That who reminds me a lot of another prince on a television show we
Prince
watch right
Damon?
Now.
Is it Prince Damon?
It's Prince Damon.
House of the Dragon?
For sure. 100%. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of similarities there. And it just kind of dawned on me watching this yesterday. I'm like, huh. We've been watching a lot of stuff with like white haired dudes that are kind of dicks in it lately.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I liked it. Jude, what's your thoughts on this?
I didn't like this one as much. I like the villains a lot. I love evil Legolas. And I liked the Golden Army. I liked the Beanstalk monster.
Oh, he was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Also sympathetic.
Yeah.
But I thought and one of the things that I really liked about the first movie was the relationship between Hellboy and Liz and why they should be together and why they were so perfect for each other.
Yeah.
And in this one, they turned Liz into kind of a shrew and Hellboy into a buffoon.
Mm.
And it was kind of hard to like root for them because I was like, God damn it. Can you just get her toothbrush out of the cat food?
Yeah.
Like gross. And I didn't like them making him less likable.
I didn't pick up on a less likable version of him. I thought the first scene with them, like she said, was a little
over the top.
A little over the top with the toothbrush and stuff. But
yeah, I think they were trying to give the two of them an arc, and they had to start off on a rocky point so that they could fall in love. I guess that's the only thing I could think of. But I agree with you. Like I think they should have been a pretty strong couple, like a power couple.
He's so clueless too. He's just like, ha ha, I was on TV. Fuck the world. And she's like, I have anxiety. I don't want this. And he's just like, I'm so cool.
Yeah.
And it was really fucking annoying.
Yeah.
I think for me, what happened was similar to what happened in the first movie with this. It's like, I like the bad guys more than I like the good guys.
Yeah.
And I have that problem with a lot of movies I watch for some. I guess I'm just an ass. I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah.
When, you know.
She was just like, yeah, totally.
It's like, I go by Vader for a reason because I fell in love with Darth Vader when I was 7 years old. That's not normal. People aren't really supposed to do that, right? I mean, he's the bad guy.
I don't know. So, I fell in love with Jaws when I was three.
It's just, I don't know. Yeah, I find the bad guys way more intriguing in these movies.
Mm.
And I guess I'm not really feeling like apologizing for it. So
I'm curious to hear what Cadis thinks.
Yeah. Here
he doesn't.
It comes.
He does dump here the salt, sir. Take it away.
He's been gearing up.
I actually don't have a lot of salt for this movie because I feel like it's way better than the first movie is. I remember when I went and saw this in the theaters, I was kind of underwhelmed by it. But upon rewatch, I was like, you know what? This is actually pretty good. And there's a reason for that, which is that basically this movie, as opposed to the first one, isn't based off of any of the Hellboy comics. This was straight up Del Toro's like, I'm just going to tell my own story in the Hellboy universe. And there's a set piece in the middle of this movie where they go to like a goblin market or like a troll market or something like that.
Yeah.
And that whole sequence is just pure Del Toro. Like it is brilliant. It's a brilliant scene.
The troll market.
Yeah. So like when you watch that scene, you're just like, oh my God, this world is so amazing. Mm-hmm. And like just visually, like it looks amazing. The fight with the ogre, at the end, like everything in that segment of the movie, I was just captivated. I was like, this is brilliant.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm going to interrupt. What came out first, this or the Harry Potter movies?
The Harry Potter movies.
Because yeah. I picked up a very big Diagon Alley kind of vibe.
Oh, okay.
From
I
the troll
see that.
Market. You know what sure. I'm saying?
Well, so, Del Toro was in the running to direct some of the Harry Potter films, so I wouldn't be surprised if he pulled some influence from that. But I just feel like the troll market was the scene that like really did a lot of world building in this movie, which in addition to like the elves and the Golden Army and stuff, there was a lot of world building in this film, which was actually really interesting. And there was also a heavier focus on Abe Sapien, and Doug Jones just like owns that role so much.
Doug Jones voiced this one too, right? Because the voice is different.
Yeah, so like David Hyde Pierce, after he did the first movie, he kind of like stepped away from the role and let Doug Jones kind of like take it over. Doug Jones actually plays like three different characters in this movie.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, he was the Angel of Death.
Angel of Death and everything.
And a couple other characters.
Anytime you see somebody go, in a Del Toro movie, it's Doug Jones.
8 feet tall and weigh 94 pounds.
Yeah. But you guys asked, like, why didn't this get a third movie? And Del Toro had always planned for it to be a trilogy. And the third movie was going to be about the twins that Liz and Hellboy have. The one was going to be a boy and the other was going to be a girl. The boy was going to be corrupted. The girl was going to be kind of like the elves in this episode. And basically, Hellboy, it was going to be the culmination of, like, his destiny to destroy the world, and instead of being its destructor, he was going to become its protector, and he would have to basically battle his own son in order to save the earth. And it was meant to kind of complete the arc that Del Toro had started with the first movie. And when this movie came out, it came out around the same time as The Dark Knight did. And the Dark Knight stole a lot of this movie's thunder. And so it underperformed expectations for the studio, where basically it's like, okay, this movie was supposed to make this much money, but it only made this much money, even though it made quite a healthy profit. And they're like, you know what? It's just not worth it to be in the Hellboy business. We're not going to fund a third movie.
That's wrong.
God damn it, man.
Wasn't there a thing about Ron Perlman being questionable about whether he wanted to come back or not, or was he always into it?
I don't know.
Or was that a more recent thing?
That's a more recent thing. Like, he was always into, like, coming back. But then, like, after they rebooted it with David Harbour,
yeah,
I think Ron Perlman was just like, well, screw this then. Like, yeah. I don't want to come back unless Del Toro's coming back.
Was he doing Sons of Anarchy while he was filming this?
I don't know. I haven't watched that show. When did it start coming out?
So good.
I believe it.
I think he was doing Sons of Anarchy when this came out. Yeah.
I really like this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the structure of it. I like the setup. That like we talk about all the time how like when movies take the time to give you like a little prologue and they tell you like this is the setup for the story.
It's awesome.
And then they like bleed it right into the main show and you're just like, yeah, okay, I understand. You never question what's happening.
A long time ago, the planet was populated by these weird ass elves.
Yeah.
Humans were still pieces of shit.
The one thing I didn't like about this movie, and I think it was like it was the prince's Achilles heel. Or the princesses was that they were so tied together that like if you injured one, the other one got injured. When they announced that in the first act of the movie, you're like, oh, that's how she's gonna die.
Right.
It gives away the ending way too much.
Yeah.
Cause you're like, you're watching Abe fall in love with this girl and you're like, oh, I hope that, and then the back of your head you're going, oh no, she's gonna die. Because they have to kill the prince. And if they kill the prince, they're gonna kill the princess.
But also it really kind of set the stage for her character when at the very beginning of the movie, he's like, they're sentencing me to death. Are you on board with that? And she's like, yes, brother. And I just thought that was a really good moment for her to be like self-sacrificing. Okay. I mean, obviously that's what she does at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like that for her character.
Yeah. So like if they wanted to kill the prince, couldn't they have just stabbed her?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. But who's going to do that?
Well, it seems like the most efficient way to kill him since he's such a badass.
He was really good with that dagger.
That spear. Dagger spear thing was dope.
There was a little bit too much of that. That was like
too flippity. Yeah.
Just too much flipping around.
Flip around.
That actor had that skill and they were like, we're going to showcase it.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it was cool. But.
I want to talk about the new BPD character in this movie, Johan.
Oh, the smoke guy?
The smoke guy who basically comes in as the new team leader.
The German guy, yeah.
Yeah, and so I don't know if you guys knew this, but Seth MacFarlane was the voice of Johan. And originally he came in and he was doing his Peter Griffin voice for the character. And Del Toro was like, no, that's not working. And so like they had to go back and redo all of his dialogue. And Seth MacFarlane did the Ted voice, where, you know, the teddy bear voice from Ted. And Del Toro was like, no, that's still not working. And so like he's like, what if you did it with a German accent? Uh-huh. And so like on the third time around, Seth MacFarlane did the whole like German thing.
Damen und Herren, Johann Krauss at your service.
And this was like Seth MacFarlane's first like actual movie that he like any participation in. And so every time you're hearing the German smoke guy talk, it's Seth MacFarlane.
I had no idea. I would have
preferred him be Stewie.
It's an evil British baby.
So.
Well, Peter. I forgot what I was going to say. One of the other things that kind of made me like tilt my head a little bit during this scene is when they take the princess back to like the Hellboy headquarters, right? And she's like, well, now that I know where this place is, my brother knows too. And I'm like, bitch, tell us before we brought you.
Hey, I know, right?
It's a secret lair.
And then when she says that, nobody goes, shit, guys, we need to move. We need to go somewhere else.
Like, you know what? We should just have some beers.
We should. Yeah, they completely ignore the giant red flag that she's waving. Like, hey, my brother is connected to me mentally and he knows where I'm at. Like, they should have been like, okay, let's put a bag over your head for like 20 minutes and move you to a different place.
Yeah.
Like, but that drove me a little crazy because it was just like very plot convenient. Like, okay, the prince is going to show up, cause some havoc, and then they're going to have to rescue the princess.
Also, couldn't they destroy the map to the Golden Army so that the brother could never get to it?
That right. too. There's a couple of holes in this movie.
plot holes in a Del Toro movie? You don't say.
It's fine. It's fine. But like, again, visually, this movie's stunning. I do like the little market, the troll market that they go through, but that fight with the troll was awesome. It was awesome. There's a little bit of a follow through with this movie too, because like Hellboy, he's established as a badass. He knows how to fight. He knows how to kick ass. When he goes up against the prince in the headquarters and Abe is like, no, don't hurt him. It'll hurt the princess. And then Hellboy gets his ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the only reason why that happened was because he's going easy on the dude.
Yeah.
And then later on in the movie, when he gets healed, he gets the shanks taken out and he's like, all right, no more messing around. And he plays the prince's game for a little bit where he's letting him flip around, show off his little moves and stuff like that. And he's like, finally, I got you, you little slippery son of a bitch. And he just knocks the shit out of him. I love that follow through between the two fight scenes. It was really cool.
It was also interesting to see him use his like rock hand to like block the blades and stuff like that. That was pretty neat.
I think this movie suffers from a tiny bit of sequelitis.
Just a tiny bit.
Because one of the things that I noticed, like that, we talked about that swamp monster thing. I don't know what it was called.
The Hellhound.
Samuel.
No, not that one. In this movie, there's like the big giant beanstalk thing.
Oh, yeah. The flower.
And he's like,
the very sad monster.
Yeah. Is the last of its kind. Are you really going to kill it? And then he blows its freaking head off.
Fucking dickhead prince. You knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, right?
You son of a bitch.
But that fight scene was just like so over the top. And then he's like, well, my big gun isn't big enough, so I need an even bigger gun. Yeah. It's just kind of like eye-rolly, like, okay.
He's got the baby.
He's like, I'm going to go get Big Baby. And it's like.
Also, like a part of the sequelitis is the character of John Myers, who was played by Rupert Evans in the first movie, where he's kind of like the audience's surrogate as he comes into the BPD.
He was not in this movie.
Rid of that character.
Didn't give a shit.
He had a little crush on Liz, so we got to get rid of him.
Yeah, you know, he was supposed to be the replacement for John Hurt's character, who was like Hellboy's dad.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that at the time they were shooting this movie, he had commitments to like a theatrical production that he couldn't get out of. And so like, that's why they were just like, well, we're going to write him out. And like, you don't miss him.
Nobody missed him whatsoever. I'm glad they did the flashback scene where they brought Dr. Boom back. Mm-hmm. Boom or Broom?
I think it's Broom.
Broom. It was cool to see him in the beginning. That actor's always kind of fun to watch. And I was glad they did the little
thing. It was kind of funny to see like a teenage Hellboy with like his little cowboy, cowboy gun that eventually gets replaced by like the big Bertha gun.
Just because it popped up on the screen. What do you guys think about the Tooth Fairy creepy?
I love the Tooth Fairies.
You love the Tooth Fairies?
Yes. They're so creepy.
They're so creepy.
They're very creepy. Yes.
When the doctor brings that one back to life and it's like a half dead zombie thing. Oh, and it's like yelling at Hellboy. He's like, you bit my fucking tail off. Like, fuck you. That was a great moment.
I also like that they got rid of the whole like Hellboy doesn't exist type thing where basically Jeffrey Tambor's out there constantly like spin doctoring like the sightings of Hellboy. And in the first movie, like it's obvious that like people have seen Hellboy and then they could be like, yeah, he's real.
He pulls that picture up and he's like, look, he posed for this one.
And then like he literally like falls out the window in front of like every press outlet imaginable, and he stands up and he's like, hey, everyone's like, Hellboy exists. I'm like, why were they keeping this a secret to begin with?
Because he wanted everyone to know that he exists because he thought that everybody would love him because he fights monsters for them. And throughout the movie, he learns humans suck.
Yeah, humans suck, which is another thing that the prince is like, why are we letting these freaking shitty ass humans rule the world when they suck? Mm-hmm. And Hellboy is always like, oh, humanity's cool. They're going to love me. And then that turn happens right after that scene where they're like, we don't need you. Get the fuck out of here.
You freak.
And he's like, throwing shit at him. Oh shit. And that makes the prince even more sympathetic to the audience. You're like, I kind of hate humans too.
He has a very good point.
He's had a very good point. I don't know. You guys
have to the Tooth Fairy.
Back to the Tooth Fairy. Okay. Jude.
So I fucking love this scene. He sets these Tooth Fairies loose in an auction. Mm-hmm. And then when they come in, when the team comes in to like see what happened, the floor's just all sticky because the fairies ate them.
They're all goo.
All that's left is like goo on the floor. Shit.
Look at it.
You know, they're called tooth fairies because they eat the teeth first.
Yeah. Oh my God.
What's cool is that he has that tooth, and if you listen, there's a little sound effect. Like a little saw effect.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God.
That's awesome. And the two human agents that go in with them get fucked up.
I was like, why aren't these people in SWAT gear?
Yeah.
They're in suits? In,
like Men in Black.
They don't have superpowers.
Anytime I see a scene similar to this, it creeps me out. It's like there's the scene in the movie We Don't Speak Of where he gets eaten by ants and taken down into the
tree. Oh, yeah, the movie that doesn't exist.
There's the one in the Brendan Fraser, the Mummy movie.
Yeah. Oh, the scarab beetles. And it's inside his head.
That's like that movie. We haven't watched those movies. We need to watch those movies.
Have we not talked about Brendan Fraser's Mummy?
That scene in particular fucks me up every single time.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't because it's like aged ancient CGI.
Yeah.
But it's just weird, man. It's like anytime somebody gets like consumed from the inside out, I'm like, ugh. That's just what a terrible way to go.
I like how they finish this scene where it's like there's no way they're gonna beat him by shooting him.
Right.
And they have Liz right there. And you're like,
get away from the window.
Or just get away. Oh, and that's another thing. Sorry. That's another thing that when Kadesh was talking about the PR guy who's out there trying to cover everything up, Hellboy like hates that dude, right? He's always trying to fuck with him.
Yeah.
And Liz is like, get away from the window. I'm going to blow this place up. And Hellboy's like, dude. He stands right in front of the window because he knows he's going to get blown outside. It's a great little subtle moment.
Yeah. But that entire scene, I'm like, why isn't Liz just burning all these things?
Right.
Because she would have
took forever.
She would have burnt the Abe and the two soldiers that were there because they're not immune.
Her really only superpower besides turning herself on fire is causing a thermonuclear explosion that fucks everything up around her, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go nuclear, but you run.
Go big or go home. Yeah.
I will say that I think Selma Blair looks fire in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
She looks way better than she did in the first movie.
And I love that when she's on fire, her necklace glows, and she's got that like really, like, it's such a comic book thing. I love that. It's awesome. I think I like this movie more than I thought.
Oh, yeah.
I think some of my favorite scenes in this movie are when Johan is basically like, fucking with Hellboy.
Oh, in the locker room?
Yeah,
that was a great scene.
Like Hellboy breaks his like containment suit.
Yeah.
And like he thinks he kills him because like the steam just disappears. And then like the incorporeal Johan just starts like slamming him with lockers and like and fighting him. And Johan's actually a badass. Like at the end when he like possesses that golden army soldier and he's just like fighting everyone, and you're like, yeah, I can see why he's the team leader.
Yeah, it's like when you first get introduced to him, Hellboy kind of like scoffs, like, what are you going to do? You're like a freaking smoke monster. Like, you're weak. And then you realize, no, I can control pretty much anything I can possess. Yeah. And that's like a huge superpower that comes in later with the Golden Army like stuff.
The ultimate necromancer.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Did you guys like Tambor in this movie?
I did, yeah.
I did too.
Who's that?
Jeffrey Tambor.
The PR guy.
The PR guy from the first movie.
Oh, he's okay. I think
like,
he was...
I like the scene with the cigars.
Yeah, anytime he's like chumming it up with Hellboy, I'm good with it. But the rest of the time, he's kind of annoying.
It's like, can you just be good? I got a cigar.
Yeah.
Cuban. Cubans. Cuban. You're Cuban.
Oh, okay. It's like, okay. I smoked a cigar the other day. It tasted like garbage. I was like, God damn it, man. I don't understand. I've got to find the right brand because the one I had the other day sucked.
Cigars are either really great or
terrible.
Awful.
I think
most
I had
of them are awful.
I had a terrible one.
My dad
one.
Used to smoke cigars. Yeah. I can't stand the smell.
Yeah, I understand. I get it. I keep trying to find a good one. Like, I haven't done it yet.
Like a sweet vanilla one.
Like you think, like you smell it, and you're like, oh, that smells like a sweet, like they dipped it in honey or something. Yeah. And then you smoke it, it tastes like trash. And it's like, fuck, it's bad. Anyway, you guys ready for final thoughts?
Sure.
All right. Vader.
Oh.
Favorite moment? Because I know you have one.
I already gave it up.
Oh, you did, didn't
you? Yeah, but I like, I mean, okay, so my favorite moment is the fairy tale at the beginning of the movie. And it's just because of the animation. Mm-hmm. I think it's really unique and cool. I don't know if I have a favorite moment. I love the style of this movie. I love Guillermo.
Not you, Guillermo.
I like Gidget's style. You know, so you know, everything is so unique. He's one of these directors, these creators, who just has a unique perspective and imagination on things. Mm. Nobody else makes a movie that looks like his.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Maybe Clive Barker back in the day with some of his weird ass shit, but Guillermo goes next level.
Yeah.
And I
just, that Angel of Death thing,
the Angel of Death stuff, the troll market stuff, everything in this thing, from the troll dude on the wagon
with no legs.
You know, it's cool.
I'll give you this cool belt. I don't have any legs.
yeah, you know, it's like, this is a fun movie. It's very visually pleasing to me. Everything is so unique.
How fucking creepy that
thing is. Like, I don't even know what that thing is.
I don't either. It's gross.
But it's cool.
It's grotesque.
You know? It's like a slug person. I don't know. Whatever. You know, I like his take on the elves. On the elves, you know, they're just kind of like creepy, evil looking. You know, everything in this thing is like a twisted version of things that we, the way we think these things should be.
Yeah.
And I think
who's the actor who plays the main Prince Elf guy?
I don't know.
He's cool.
He's very cool though.
Very cool. Yeah. Got a very distinctive face.
So it's like I said earlier, I'm way more intrigued by the villains in this than I am by the heroes. But that's pretty much just the thing with me. I'm going to give this movie, I don't know if I want to go 3.5 or 4. So I'm just going to go, I'm just going to say 3 in that area. So, you know, 3.75.
Okay.
That's where I'm going to throw
my head. All right. So not a 3.5, but not a 4.
Not a 4.
Okay.
Yeah. Because that's not the perfect movie by any means, but it's better than the first one, I thought. I enjoy it. I'll watch it anytime I can see it come on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I own it, but it's on physical, so but I don't have a DVD player right now.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Jude?
Luke Goss played Prince Nuada.
Okay, cool.
I didn't like this movie. Yeah, I fell asleep the first time I watched it. I had to go back and rewatch it. I just really, what I liked about the first one wasn't in this one. I really liked the monsters though. Love the tooth fairies. I loved that poor sad beanstalk monster. And I really liked the villains in this. I liked the twins. I didn't like Hellboy.
Hmm.
I love Abe. I didn't care about Johan.
Sounds like you kind of like this movie, Jude.
I didn't hate it, but like if I never watched it again, I'd be like, great, perfect.
Okay.
That works for me. So I don't know. I didn't hate watch it, but it's probably only like a 2 kittens out of 5.
Hmm. Surprising. All right. Kiddish.
So, this is one of those rare instances where the sequel is better than the original. I do think that this is a better movie. I enjoyed it way more than I did the first one. So And I believe that's because Del Toro basically took the reins and got away from a lot of the Mike Mignola stuff, who's like the creator of the comic books. Mm-hmm. And the imagination on display in this movie was really amazing. Like Del Toro, you can see like why a lot of people consider him to be a visionary. I just wish that he was better at writing. it's kind of funny because Peter Jackson, around this time, Peter Jackson was lobbying hard for Del Toro to do the Halo movie that Peter Jackson was producing. Mm. And Del Toro turned him down in order to do this movie. And then thus the Halo movie died. And so like, I'm kind of like, well, what would have happened if he had gone the Halo route instead of, you know, the Hellboy route? With this movie, like I feel like there's not as many problems as there was with the first one in terms of like pacing, but it still had those like little side plots where basically like you detract from like the main thrust of the story to watch Abe and Hellboy get drunk and stuff like that, which I guess is like just typical Del Toro. He likes to kind of like show like strange creatures mm-hmm. doing normal things. So overall, like I feel like this is definitely a better movie than the first one. But that being said, it's still not like a great movie. But I would probably give it 3 Tooth Fairies out of 5, just because I did enjoy rewatching this movie, and the troll market sequence was absolutely brilliant. Loved it. And Doug Jones, I could watch that guy do anything probably. Yeah. So yeah, good movie.
What did I give the first one?
Three.
Three? Yeah. Three and a half. This one's 3.5.
Okay.
I like it a lot. I have a lot of fun. Another highlighted scene is when Hellboy actually gets to fight that troll with the metal arm, and they like meet and their fists meet, and then Hellboy's hand is like stronger than the metal hand, mm-hmm. and the thing is like, "Rawr, you hurt my hand." He's like, "Fuck you."
He's like, "I wouldn't do that."
He's like, I warned you. And he like in the background, it's getting like chewed up by that machine that I don't know why it was there, but whatever.
I will say the big battle at the end with the Golden Army was really well done. It was really cool. Like I like seeing them. Like it looks like they're kicking ass. Then all of a sudden the Golden Army soldiers just like start reassembling themselves.
Yeah.
And you realize like, oh shit, that's why they're
indestructible.
So
yeah. Because when he first blows one up, he's like indestructible, my ass, whatever. And then it starts like piecing itself back together. And he's like, oh.
but that was like a really well done set piece, and I normally by this point in a Del Toro movie I'm kind of bored, but I wasn't bored during that scene. I thought it was really well shot and well done.
I will say during that scene Abe and Liz were completely useless.
Yeah.
And they like literally did nothing to help. They were just like, well, I guess
they just kind of forgot about
it. They're just like, well, I guess we'll let Johan and freaking Hellboy just take care of it, I guess, whatever.
I'm gonna sit here and look all fiery.
Yeah.
And Abe like throwing the prince the piece of the crown. He's like, but you promised you wouldn't hurt her. You know, like it was very out of character.
Abe's a fool.
Well, I did like the line that he was like, you would have done the same thing for Liz, which is 100% true.
Yeah.
So like, I felt like that line in particular kind of justified what he did, even though it was kind of a bonehead move.
I don't feel like they had a long enough relationship for Abe to throw the entire world under the bus.
But it is kind of funny because like throughout the movie, like Abe's doing things to try to like entice her, like putting in his contact lenses and stuff like that. She's like, oh, your eyes are different. He's like, what, these old things?
these baby blacks.
what was the song that he picked? I can't smile. Yeah, that one. Goofy song.
Barry Manilow.
Yeah. All right, that's it for our discussion on Hellboy, the Golden Army. I had a lot of fun. Like, I literally changed my mind while we were talking about this. I think this is a superior movie to the first one. Like, I'm a sucker for, like, terrible Nazis and bad guys and stuff like that. So I like the first one, but this one is just so much more creative and fun.
I will say that it's a shame that we never got Del Toro's third and final Hellboy movie in his planned trilogy.
Is there a chance we still can get it?
I think that he had talked about the possibility of putting it out in comic book form, but I don't think that ever manifested. So
I mean, I'd watch an animated Del Toro.
Ron Perlman could still do it. It's a lot of makeup. Get a stuntman to do the action scenes.
Like 15 years old, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, after the failure of the reboot, I don't think anyone's putting money into a Hellboy story.
That was such a different movie from what these are. That's
like far separated from this.
Far separated. Yeah. Completely different style.
Yeah, but the way Hollywood thinks, it's just like there is no market for a Hellboy franchise.
I think I would go for a Del Toro animated third
sequel. That movie did so poorly because it wasn't like these.
Yeah. Everybody wanted a third movie.
Yeah.
And they got...
And they're like, what is this gross shit?
It was
Yeah, just... the David Harbour Hellboy was insultingly bad.
Yeah. Was that a P.W. Sanderson movie?
No, it was not.
It felt like a P.W. Sanderson.
Well, that's because Mila Jovovich was in it.
It felt like a P.W. Sanderson movie. Yeah,
it's one of the few Mila Jovovich movies that wasn't directed by Paul Stanky Anderson.
All right, let's get the heck out of here. Thank you guys for watching the video. Comment below what you think about this movie, and what do you think about the third one that's out there in the ethos? Let us know if you enjoy that movie at all. I'm curious. I think I only watched it once, and I don't remember.
I've seen it twice.
Bad both times?
Just to make sure it was as bad as it was the first time. It's like, couldn't have been that bad.
Yep.
It was.
And it wasn't like David Harbour was a bad Hellboy. It was just the movie was bad.
Yeah.
Wasn't Harbour's 100%. Fault.
Not at all. All right, V. So tell them where you can find you.
You can find me at MattVader74 on the social medias, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and the rest.
Cool. All right. Jude?
You can find me at I am Jude Juju on the socials. Don't slide in my DMs and say hi. If you want to talk about the show, we'll talk about the show.
All right, Kadesh, take it away.
How many people are sliding into your DMs?
It happens. It does happen. I get a lot of, hey,
you know,
it's creepy.
You know, by telling them not to do it, you're just inviting them to do it.
Slide into my DMs with your hey.
You can find me at Matthew Kadesh, KADISH on Twitter, and Truth Social. KadeshBooks.com takes you to our Amazon page. And also, be sure to join our Facebook group at SaltyNerdGroup.com.
All right. And if you want to see where the action happens, go to SaltyNerdDiscord.com. The Discord app is on fire. We've got almost 300 people in there chatting it up, doing all kinds of different things, sharing information, sharing their passion about movies. We'd love to have you there. SaltyNerdDiscord.com. That's where the action happens.
A lot of memes on our Discord.
Lots of memes. Lots of funny stuff. Good time. We have a chat room for everything. It's there.
The Discord's full. Fun.
It's a lot of fun. All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching the video. Stay salty.